Hello and welcome to A Friend in Me, the podcast all about friendship, culture, and the kingdom of God through the lens of Pixar. Today, I am releasing one of my bonus episodes that I recorded last year, and I'm excited for you all to hear this conversation between myself and my mom. Now, I'm sitting here with ashes on my forehead today on Ash Wednesday, and it made me think about this conversation I had with my mom because Ash Wednesday is often a day of tears. It's a day of lament. And in this conversation, you will find that my mom and I both cry, which I don't cry often on the podcast. And sometimes it's tears of joy and sometimes it's tears of sadness. So as we enter into this Lent season, I thought that you might enjoy listening to this episode talking about the power of memory, the power of scrapbooking, and the power of family. So yeah, enjoy this conversation between myself and my mother. And stay tuned for the Coco episode, which should be coming out soon. It has been recorded. So the Coco episode should come out in a couple weeks. Thank you, as always, for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this conversation from my bonus episode on the movie Up. Hey there, and welcome to a bonus episode of A Friend in Me. I'm talking with my lovely mother today. So how are you doing, Mom?
Oh, doing well. Thanks, Porter. It's fun to see you. Fun to be with you.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to... Usually we talk on the phone. We don't always video chat, so it's good to see you. Yeah, we're talking today about the movie Up, and we're specifically going to zoom in on the role of scrapbooking in the movie because of how the memories and the photo book that Ellie creates, the impact it has on Carl is a real instigator of change and transformation for him in the film. So first, though, Mom, I just want to ask you, what do you love about the movie Up? Because I know when we first watched it, it resonated a lot with both of us, and it has continued to. So, yeah, what do you love about this movie?
Well, I have to say the scrapbooking piece really is a part that I loved because I think at the time it came out, I was in the throes of my scrapbooking craze. There was a period of time where I would... work on my photo albums and just to see how that was used in the story so powerfully, that was a really big aspect. But of course, just the whole relationship between Carl and Ellie, and then the impact of when that relationship was lost, the going on, that, you know, the having to move on, and just the way that was, I just think it was brilliantly portrayed, or how the story went.
Yeah, I think it is a really beautiful, it's a beautiful love story. And then it's a story of moving on from that love too. So very emotionally impactful. Yeah. So there's this scene at the beginning where she first introduces her adventure book, and Ellie says, "This is my adventure book." And she goes through the first half of it and shows the different things she's done. And then it says, "Stuff I'm going to do." And she says, "This is where I'm going to put all the pictures of the adventures I go on." Like, and she says, "Oh," and then it goes on to, "Oh, promise me you'll take me to Paradise Falls." So there's this adventure book and they keep it. So she had it as a little kid. They keep it their whole lives together. But he has never looked at the second half of that book where it says "stuff I'm going to do." Why do you think that Carl is so hesitant to look at that part of the book?
Well, in watching the montage, that beautiful montage of their life together, at the very, when she is in the hospital bed and she hands that, she pushes that over to him, and then the next scene is where, you know, he's in the church where they've obviously had a funeral. And I'm thinking that, you know, everybody grieves differently. And I just probably think it was too painful for him, or, you know, he was so in his grief. And also thinking that he had bought the tickets to finally take her after all you know, their life together. And it kind of hits him that, oh my goodness, we haven't done that. And then, you know, he wasn't able to fulfill that while she was alive. And so I'm just wondering, you know, just the whole tangled web of grief and regret. I'm thinking maybe that could have played something. And
I think it's understandable that seeing, because he assumes they're going to be blank. He assumes that because he wasn't able to accomplish this goal of going to Paradise Falls with her, that, he probably thinks, oh, this will just be a reinforcer of the grief, a reinforcement of what could have been but didn't happen.
Right. And it's interesting that he did not see that he did not see himself as part of her adventure, that he was her adventure.
It's almost like he thought he needed to connect her to these other experiences and that he wasn't good enough. He didn't think that he was good enough for her.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Yeah. Could be. Even though you see in that montage, it's just so beautiful, the animation of how you can just see the devotion and the care that they have for one another. It's a killer. It's a killer. That scene alone, I think, is worth the price of admission.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it, I like that you pointed out that in the montage, she has that book on her deathbed.
Yes. And I think that you could easily overlook that. You know, you have to watch the movie more than once, because I have to admit that I didn't always catch that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I saw that until very recently.
And it makes it all the more poignant.
I also noticed there's a pen on the bedside table, I believe, in the montage. So I think the implication is she just wrote that note at the end.
Yeah.
So, man, yeah.
That means it's too bad that he didn't discover it earlier. But, you know, that's the part of the movie that makes the movie. But you just wonder about if people miss things like that in their life.
Missing how much of an impact they had on others and how beloved they were and how grateful others were for them.
And then just her wanting him to go on.
And it happens in the perfect part of the movie, because he has literally just kind of turned down this new opportunity, this new adventure to help rescue the bird and help Russell. And he's kind of turned that down, and she is the one who encourages him to keep going and to have a new adventure. So,
right. And it's neat how they used her chair and then also Russell's badge that, you know, it's just so well done how, and I think he makes some hand gesture, or he didn't cross his heart, but he gestures to the chair. So it's kind of like a cohesive element of having Ellie there.
Yeah,
the use of the chair and the badge sash.
Well, and he leaves the two chairs sitting next to each other at the top of the falls. So as his house sails away, you see, you see the two of them, the two chairs that he's moved on, but they made it to the falls. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a lot.
The movie just, you know, is a killer movie for emotion and feeling the feels and the depths of different things.
And they do such a good job of Ellie feels like one of the main characters in the movie, even though she's only in the first 10 minutes, but she is like a central character in the movie.
Right. And I think I heard you say in the other podcast, you know, just talking about this, the song that says the spirit of adventure is you, and that that they were each other's spirit of adventure.
And there's times in the montage where you see something goes wrong and he is like, feels off put by it, but then she's able to be adaptable and roll with it. So like he accidentally puts his handprint on the mailbox and he's like, oh no. And then she just laughs and she does it too.
Yes.
Or, or he's at the zoo and his, the balloon cart starts to lift and then she just kind of laughs at him. So she's able to, she's always been the one who's able to turn the trials of life into moments of adventure or levity or like she's able to roll with the punches. Of course, she then had, we have this heart-wrenching part of the montage where she's just sitting in her grief after being at the fertility clinic and is just sitting there in so much pain. And that's jarring because we've seen her as the, like the smiley one, the entire time. So yeah, they had a lot of hardships in their time together.
Right. And,
but that those hardships and those experiences they had together were the life that they built and, and they had each other for it. So, so then why does that scene towards the end, when he does finally look at the photos, why does that resonate so deeply with you?
Well, it just is such an awakening for him, and to see that the impact that he, that their life together did have on her, and that he wouldn't have known that had it not been for that scrapbook, or and how they had it where, you know, he could have just closed it up, and but how they had that page move and you could see the corner of another picture. It was just so well done, and you could just see in his face the impact of realization that that her life was an adventure with him. And then just to see her handwriting at the end, and that personal note to him. And it resonated with me too, because just personally, my father, when he died, left notes. And just the impact that that had, and even finding notes years after, like this was, I don't know how many months it had been since she'd been gone, but just to find it like after a time of their earthly absence, it's just so, it just makes such an impact.
Yeah.
And how that, how seeing that scrapbook makes the story go on. And,
and it heals his vision of his own past. It heals his regret and shame and feeling of a failure. Right. It heals that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It can. It's a healing. It's a healing thing. And I do think the impact of memory and recording the memory can be very life changing for people.
Yep. And yeah, I just think it's sweet because I hadn't thought of this before, but you just think, I think Ellie would have loved Russell. Like Carl is not about it for a while. He's kind of grumpy about it, but I think Ellie would have really loved him and had so much fun with him.
Yeah. Yep. And she's included in their relationship. She's part of it. And that's that's kind of a neat thing too, that even though people are gone, they can still be a part of even relationships where maybe the other person doesn't know.
Yeah.
Didn't know them on Earth. But because of who they were and the impact they had on the on a person's life, that can be brought into a relationship, can be in a positive way. Being a negative too, but in this case.
Well, and I've experienced that with Papa. Like I never got to meet your dad, and yet I hear stories and I hear about his sense of humor and I hear about how much he loved you and your sister. And yeah, he's made an impact on me, even though I never got to meet him.
Right. Right. So if we didn't have those stories or even, you know, you seeing pictures or images or seeing his handwriting, and then he also
Heard his voice in recordings. Have I heard his voice?
Yes, we did. We intentionally did a recording before he passed. So we had the luxury of having the knowledge of, you know, sometimes people go quickly, but we had the knowledge that he had a little time, you know, so we wanted to capture stories.
Yeah. Well, wow. Both tears on both ends of the camera here. Yeah, but lots of emotion with this movie. And yeah.
Well, you remember, you did talk about how we went to see it more than once and we went with other family and we just kind of audibly cried in the lobby. I mean, we were, you know, it was ugly.
The second time we watched it, we were crying in the lobby after. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, with all of our like extended Sprigg family.
Yeah. Well, I just remember wanting everyone to see that movie. Like I went to watch it. And then after that, it was anyone, I would say, have you seen Up? Have you seen Up? You got to see it. Let's watch it. And I would look over at them during the montage to see how much they're crying as I'm also crying.
Right. Yeah. I do love that about you. I love how you enjoy viewing other people watching movies that you've seen that you really like.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be annoying for the people. They're like, why is he staring at me? He should be looking at the screen, but.
Right. Yeah. I think you need to record that about yourself to pass on to the generations.
Record
like how
tell stories that, about that.
That part of you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here we are. It's recorded here. Yeah. So now I kind of want to shift a little bit to more how scrapbooking has impacted your life, because it's a big part of this film. And like you said, that part resonated with you so deeply because you are a scrapbooker and you love to store memories through visual images. So I'm wondering if you could just share, how has scrapbooking impacted your life and how have you used scrapbooking for our family, things like that?
I think becoming a mother, started that journey of scrapbooking. And I do want to give out a shout out to Rose Buell, who was a friend and member of our church, who gave me a starter kit for Christmas one year when you were an infant. And because it can be a pricey hobby, but it doesn't have to be. But that really set me on the path with the company Creative Memories, and it kind of reminds me of quilting bees too. Like women would get together, and you would have that marked out time to work on your albums. So it not only helped me to record our lives, but also to build relationships with other women. So much of your younger days, you know, that there were scrapbooks retreats I would go on, and that was such a part. And then I would come home and show you guys, and you guys seem to be, you know, genuinely interested. I don't know what your feeling is on that, but so it started when you were born. However, I have found a scrapbook that I had like in high school, like an old fashioned looking thing that like Ellie did. And then for my 30th birthday, my mother gave me my baby book. It took her 30 years to finish it, but it meant so much. You know, it's a prized thing. Now, I do wrestle with the scrapbooking, the physical scrapbooking now, because it does take up room. And then I also think, will your future family want all these albums? You're our only child. But you know, I do think in my career with scrapbooking, I came to a revelation that it is so important to pass on story and to pay. And I think the words sometimes are even more important than the picture, but it goes so well together. So I do think that the story is important, just because you could have a box of photos and you don't know who they are. You don't know what they're doing from the past, maybe from old family photos. So I think I had a passion for that.
Yeah.
But as time went on, I do think that now I'm just trying to scrapbook different events. I'm more selective. It's not a day-to-day thing like it was with you growing up. But
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And you made some beautiful stuff too. You don't just put pictures in willy-nilly and you frame them on the page. You have different themes for each page,
right.
Different paper crafts that you also include in there. So it's really beautiful.
Well, thank you. Yes. I mean, that's a piece of it. I do like to let people know that some people don't feel creative that way. So I still think it's important. Like, even if, like, I did that one, what I called a naked album, where I just put the picture in with the story.
Yeah.
And so I do want to encourage people, if anyone listens to this, that you could, if you wanted to do a physical, literal scrapbook, that you don't have to be all artsy with it. But just to get those stories down that are important to you. Mm-hmm. And then I think we'll talk more later about the faith element. So I like just to go to the shelf, like when you come home for a visit, I said, oh, let's try to look at one scrapbook before you go we'll pick a random one. And I don't know if that evokes anything for you.
I've brought friends over or girlfriends over, you always like to show all the pictures of me as kids to my friends. So appreciate that. They love seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do think that I just see that there's a great value in it. Although I do also believe that, you know, we don't take anything with us when we leave this earth. So I struggle with that sometimes.
But you can leave stuff behind, like how Ellie leaves a legacy behind, even if she doesn't take anything with her.
See, that's the
yeah, yeah. You can tell me, you can mark which ones you really, really want me to keep and which ones you can say.
Oh dear. Yes.
Well, do you have favorites?
I think I do have favorites. And so that's why I've kind of changed how I scrapbook now. But I have favorites of our Disney trip. And I get a little teary because one of the first things you said was, this is my first dream come true. You were 5 years old. And, you know, so I was able to record that. And I know you probably don't have like tons of memories of it. But I think when you look at it, it might bring them back, you know, or I think it's important. And even like my father's book is important to me because he did die before you were born. And I wanted you to know him. There's also like your baby book is important. And like the little birthdays that I did, like I think I can even name the themes of your birthdays up to a certain point because I did record them. Mm-hmm. And so that is important. And oh golly, there's probably other ones but those are the ones, my dad's album, the Disney album. We did get to go to the White House one time for a bill signing, and I did a special album for that. And then
I got to pet Barney Bush, didn't I?
Yes, yes.
The Bush
and we
dog.
Have a special picture of that. And and
I was also, not a dog person though, so I was very tentative with my petting of the dog. What?
Yes, and we heard later that Barney went on to nip like adults, so I think he liked the children better. Anyway, so there's, I just think it's powerful how pictures and story go together, and that I've been able to create that. You know, maybe my grandchildren will enjoy them one day.
Yeah.
But there, I also did one too, where I, you know, and moms do this, you know, they'll write down certain things their children say. And so I have a whole little album of things that you said when you were little.
Okay, and that, nice. That so you want to read a couple of those, read some of your favorites of those, or?
In 2002, you said, "I love my toys 100%. I love you 1,000%, but I love God infinity percent."
Wow. I had my priorities straight. That's good.
Yes.
And God, family, and toys.
And then one day you said April 9th, 2002. So I guess I did this in 2002 a lot. "Everything doesn't last forever, just love and God." So I you know, you said these really profound things. And then it was cute too, how you're linked with your games and toys. You said, "God is better than anything, even aces in cards."
I was probably playing a lot of War at that point. I declare war. Oh man, that's funny.
And then this is, this one also is good with your podcast. I have a little dialogue that I said to you. "It's not time to ask questions." I was referring to you asking me questions from a Trivial Pursuit card thing. And you said, "But mom, I have to. It's my perfect talent."
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Part of making a podcast is asking good questions. So.
Right. Right. So this kind of
still a talent.
Yeah. So this kind of, this is your heritage of, and who you are today, you know, things that make you who you are today. And then there was one other, which is one of my favorites. "It was a sad and glorious day." This is a, this was an answer to a question I asked you after a first day of baseball camp. And apparently during a scrimmage, there was some trouble with a couple of players, but the other parts of the day, you know, you enjoyed, but had a sad.
What? Wait, how old was I?
This was July 2005.
Okay. So 8 or 9? Just turned 8.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And I think
a sad and glorious day.
Right. It was a sad and that's how you said it. And I had to write that down. And I think you got a bad sunburn that day too. But anyway.
Probably. Yeah. Still not the best at putting on sunscreen, but maybe I shouldn't tell you that. But
yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you just see how all the, just from doing a little scrapbook, it promotes conversation. It promotes memory, you know, and of course there's sad memory too and good memory. So I think it has a power for good and for, you know, and to see where you were, where you come, you know, of course it could go either way, but you know, it can challenge you to grow more, or mm-hmm. it can challenge you to be grateful, because you know the things in your life that have been sweet.
Yeah, gratitude I think is a huge part of it. Yeah, you mentioned earlier the faith piece. Let's go there now.
Okay,
why do you think this kind of storing of memories to pass on to loved ones is an important spiritual practice? Like, what, how could that connect to our relationship with God and our lives as Christians?
Well, throughout scripture, there are, I don't want to say commands, but like in Deuteronomy 4:9, it says, "Watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." So, you know, you think about how, the Lord, told people to build the stones, you know, were a memory marker. There's different memory markers so that you remember, so that you don't forget. And even with faith, I guess we're one generation away from at least in the Christian faith, if we don't tell, how will people know? And so even through your life, you know, to write down the stories of God's faithfulness, of God's blessing, of God's healing, of God's rescue. I think that it has a part in passing on the faith.
Yeah.
And then you also had a psalm that you looked up the...
Oh, yeah. I think in Psalm 78, it says... In Psalm 78, it says... We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. So the generations to follow need to hear from us who God is, what he's done for us. And you were talking about throughout scripture. It's like scripture itself is that. The Torah itself.
Really? Yes. Yes.
Is the collective memory of Israel that was meditated on and passed on because of the narrative of God's rescue, like you said.
Right, right. So, and it continues. It continues from generation to generation. So, I mean, I think you can be selective, like, you know, thinking about the 30 things I have, and not all of them would I necessarily deem a faith book, but it, you know, where I intentionally put things in thinking of God's story, you know, as part of my story, God's story, but our life is part of his story. So.
Well, and if you look at all of them together, you can maybe see threads of how God has worked in our lives and in your life and in my life by looking at all these pictures from over the years and seeing how, I mean, here I am, you know, communicating the gospel through a podcast about movies and film and telling stories. And you can see images of me as a little kid telling stories with my toys or performing in plays in middle school and high school. And this is something that, is a fruit of those years that you've documented in the book.
Right, right. And to go back to up there, that him seeing all those images of their life together, it totally he's transformed to mm-hmm. go on and impact others and care for others, though, you know, even though he doesn't have his life partner with him, he's able to carry on through her talking to him through the scrapbook.
Mm-hmm. Wait, does he keep the scrapbook? Do we know?
Well, that I don't know.
Show it? I feel like he should. Like, because he could carry the scrapbook. It's not too heavy. Everything else he shoves out of the house. But the scrapbook could be the thing. Like, maybe he's able to move on from the house because he has this collection of photos of their time together.
Right. You know, I don't know if that question is answered there, but maybe you can try to see what he has with him as he goes on.
Yeah, try to see if it's there. Because you're right. He has the sash and he has... Yeah, I'll have to go back and search for that or see if anyone online has answered that question. Because your hope would be that he gets to keep that while jettisoning everything else. But
right. I mean, I do think of the scripture, too, about, you know, running your race and throwing off the weight and throwing off the sin that so easily entangles. So that's my tension right now, you know, with use of time. Like, I don't take the time to do. I have to intentionally set aside the time to do anything with the photo albums because I do, but I do see the value in them. So I do think, and God will give you the time to do the things that you should be doing. So I just pray for him to help me. I have several that need finishing. It's a little daunting, but so you may have some scrapbooks to look at that have blank pages.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll be able to fill in some of it.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that will be the neat thing.
Well, and I got to, you did have me scrapbook when I was a kid. There was a couple, didn't I have a book or two that I made myself?
Yes. Yeah. So I did try to show you the value of, and you picked out the pictures. That's another thing. Yeah. Anyway, we could talk a lot about scrapbooking, but if you have like follow-up questions here, I can maybe throw in a few other things I would want to say to your listeners.
Well, yeah. So the other question I have is, I think you mentioned the craze when you had a craze in your personal life in scrapbooking. Is that also seem to be a true, like across the board, that in those like mid-2000s, early 2000s, that was when Creative Memories was at its biggest, or when scrapbooking was really booming? Or do you feel like it's still a thriving industry? Because I just have questions about how has the rise of the iPhone and how good the camera is on your iPhone, and how people are posting on Instagram a lot of their memories. How has that impacted scrapbooking? And I just want to hear, do you think that my generation should continue to do scrapbooking, even though now we've been raised up with social media?
Okay, well, I definitely think there are, I have not kept up with the industry, to be honest with you. I'm trying to use up what I have.
Yeah.
and use up and make do, at least in that particular hobby. But there are so many, I think there are a lot of new digital ways that this can continue. And I do think it's valuable. The one thing I would say is I think the value of seeing someone's handwriting, I don't want that to be lost in the telling of stories. Like if people can somehow scan in some of their handwriting to the stories, because it means a lot to see my dad's handwriting, to see my grandmother's handwriting. I mean, it just has value. Even if you have poor handwriting. I mean, my dad always said, oh, my handwriting's terrible. But it means so much to see it. So that would be my one thing. I think that it can be carried on digitally. My sister and you had talked to me about there's this other thing where you can get a book at the end of the year by answering story questions. And it's just this amazing thing. I don't know if you can upload photos to it, but there's so many.
I think you can. Yeah. StoryWorth.
Yeah. I'm StoryWorth. Yes. So I do encourage that. I do also encourage, like back in the day when a film camera is coming around again, someone I saw asked for that for Christmas, like an old fashioned camera. You had to be very selective when you had film in the camera to what pictures you were going to take. Nowadays you could just snap anything, which is really cool, but it also could probably be overwhelming. So I would, I think it is overwhelming, all the pictures that you can have. So I do think people need to be selective in what they choose to scrapbook. And then it will be more meaningful, perhaps. Isn't there something where, is it Snapchat or does Instagram, does it go away? I think that's
Snapchat. Kind of, Snapchat, yeah. You send a picture to a friend and then it's only on the screen for 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. I think that's a little sad, but I guess it does show glimpses in real time. There definitely is a generational thing here. So we have made a few digital books for you. I hope they are meaningful, like Dad did when you went to Washington Nationals. A World Series game. So, and I'm looking forward to graduating to digital one day because I think that is the way to go. I think today's hard drives are the shoeboxes of the past under the bed. So I do think I do encourage people to write the stories if they can with their photos, because I could kick myself now with my grandfather being gone. He had like this little scrapbook and he would tell the stories and I would kind of think it was boring. I would do anything to have him tell those stories now. My cousin Ray has that one, and I got to check with him if he remembers, or and encourage him to write down anything he remembers. Even with my dad passing, my uncle passing, so much is lost. So I do think that it's, you know, important if people want to have family memories. And then also I do want to say too, and this was very impacting for me through scrapbooking. We didn't do it very long, but we did have time with some foster children. And they say that they don't have a lot of pictures. So I did, as part of the weekend, you know, I took time to get something made for them to take with them from our time together. And I hope that that meant something to them. So, you know, I think about the people that maybe story has not been promulgated in their life, or, but that they're important too. Their stories are important. Anyway, I know that's off topic, but you know, that's a tangent.
No, it's very on topic. Yeah.
We're even thinking about Carl being a foster granddad to
Russell.
And at the end of the movie, they show pictures of them together. And that could be put in the scrapbook that the adventure continued. Anyway, it just slays me. Some of these movies slay me. Like the
That is story. Really sweet. At the end of the movie, yeah, the credits. It's the credits. So you think, oh, does this matter? Like, does this, but it shows Carl going camping with Russell. It shows them having ice cream together. It shows them like doing, he basically becomes one of the Boy Scout fathers, like who does stuff with Russell and with the Boy Scout troop. It, like they show him telling stories around a campfire. So yeah, it is precious that now he's making memories with Russell, and we're getting to see that as the credits roll.
Right, right. And his dog, his dog too.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Well, so it's interesting. You mentioned Snapchat and how you think that's sad. And I think you're right, because what I think is happening with how my generation uses photographs is it's not so much we're thinking about future generations or the past and how to reflect or meditate on the past well, because we're so used, like you said, film used to take time to develop. And then once you've printed a photograph, you're thinking more about how this is going to be for posterity. But when you post a picture on the internet, you're actually more thinking about what present self am I putting out there? So it's more about the present nowadays than it is about the past, which you could say maybe there's some good about that, but in a sense, then it makes it very performative, and it's very much trying to put on an image of who you are, where it's affecting, I would say more people have developed self-esteem issues from Snapchat and Instagram than they have by looking through their scrapbooks. You know what I'm saying? Because if it's something that you put that you can consistently compare. So you're putting it on the internet where you can compare the picture you posted to all the pictures your friends have posted in the moment. It actually then becomes about more about the self than about your future, your children or your children's children, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yes.
So I do think that there's a value in putting these books together, because the past matters. We are so used to just living for the present, and that ultimately is lacking.
Right. I mean, all we have right now is the present, but it is made up of who we were and who we are today does play into our future. So they all have a role to play, but it can be out of proportion. Like, we don't want to be too bogged down in the past, and we don't want to be so self-absorbed that we're missing things or trying to keep up with other people. And then we also don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. So there is all that balance that we have to have with these technologies. And
well, the movie does a great job of showing that too, because his relationship to the past is pretty complicated in the movie, because he needs to really, really look into his past and love his past. So he needs to revisit his past in this movie to transform, but he also needs to let go of it.
Right. Right. So that's what I'm kind of talking about.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'll give one more Porterism from the scrapbook. I don't have a date on this, but one day, and I feel bad because I said, did you read that somewhere? But you said, tomorrow's will become yesterday's.
What? I definitely read that somewhere. If I was, that
yeah,
sounds
but you
so
told
deep.
Me. Yeah. And then you had one other philosophical thing that you said, and you were like, I don't know, between 7 and 9 or 6 and 9. The world isn't a dream, because if it was, there wouldn't be the word dream.
Yes, I do remember thinking about that as a kid. I remember as a little kid thinking, is this world real? Like having like these Descartes level, like how can I prove to myself that this is real? And I guess I settled on the lexical form of the word dream. It All wouldn't right. exist if we were in a dream. But I don't know if that's actually true, because there could be another word that we're in, you know what I'm saying? But
right. So anyway, but, yeah. It just, you know, I'm glad I wrote that down. That's how, yeah. That's all I'm saying.
It shows me how philosophical I was, and maybe how, yeah, I'm. I feel some in some ways I'm less thoughtful than my 8-year-old self. But no. But
yeah.
It's funny. The one other thing I'll bring up here is that I remember when I was a teenager, I used to get jealous of my younger self when we would watch like family videos and stuff. You're like, oh, like let's watch you as a baby. And I would get annoyed and be like, no, let's play a game. Let's do something now. Like, I don't like, I'm here now. I'm still here. Why do we need to look at me as a baby? So I'm wondering if there's something about the teenage brain that doesn't want to do some of that. Looking back yet, but now the older I am, the more I think, feel like the older you get, the more you appreciate those memories. Like you said, you got your baby book when you were 30 and it was like a treasure to you.
Right. 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 Yeah. That's a good insight too, that you had there. Cause I remember when you were like not happy to watch when you were a baby, and I'd be like, oh,
and you would be like, oh, he's so cute. You look how cute you were. And I would get literally annoyed or jealous. Like,
I know,
yeah, well, but what about me now?
You're still cute. You're still cute.
Yeah.
It just goes by so quickly. So that's why I think it's important to preserve the good of the past, and it can impact your present or future, and your level of gratitude.
Well, thanks so much, Mom, for this conversation and for all the scrapbooking you've done over the years. I'm sure I will be grateful for all those memories for years to come. And
yes, I am looking into prayerfully scanning some of these so that you don't have to have the literal pile of scrapbooks. So I do want to encourage people to preserve story, write down your stories. And even you can write your story and then find a photo that will go with your story. Because I do think, my opinion is that the story and the words are very important, even more so than the image. I mean, all the images have a story to go with it. So capture the stories, type them in, scan in your handwriting. And I do want to thank Up for that was a real validation when Up came out. It was a validation for me in my scrapbooking craze and in my wrestling with, you know, oh, is it too much money? Is it? Because I do want to say that the products that I bought, like, they're not going to fade through time. Like, you'll see in Ellie's scrapbook, like, the pages are yellowed, which has a charm of its own, but it, you know,
yep.
The entropy of things. It's interesting. And I wonder too, like, the hard drives of the future, will they break down? You know, so I hope that, it will be interesting to see how things hold up over time.
Well, it's interesting. There's been a lot of conversation in the pop culture world and the film and TV world recently, because it used to be, if you had a favorite movie or a favorite show, you had a copy of that, a hard copy of that on VCR or DVD. Well, now people have their favorite show. It's only accessible on a streaming service. But then for tax purposes, the streaming services decide to take it off. And now this artwork that someone put their heart and soul into, that a whole team of people put their heart and soul into, is like no longer accessible at all. And so people can't. There's some creators out there who have created a TV show. They've sold the rights to some company. The company decided to take it off the streaming service, and now they can't even watch their own show. Isn't that sad?
Yes, but is there the ability to make a DVD of it, or to?
Well, that's what people are saying now. Is creators are saying, "I will now in the contract request, I would like to have a hard copy as a part of this contract, so that I won't go distribute it, but I myself want to possess one." And yeah, I think fans are starting to question the streaming model as well, because it's this transient thing that could be taken away at any moment. Like, the internet is not, we kind of trust that the internet is this everlasting thing. It's not. Neither are our physical objects. Neither is anything other than love and God, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess the question is, what will stand up over the test of time?
And I just think we have an illusion
that
God's
word, yes. So
yeah, exactly. And those memories. I mean, talk about a lasting story, a lasting scrapbook. I mean, the Torah is a lasting collection of memories that have impacted every generation since they were written. God's word. That's good, Mom. You're right. God's word is the word that will last forever. But we also can participate in sharing our stories and our memories and helping our family have a collective memory.
Yes. Yes. Can I read one last thing from my father to end our time? And in the scrapbook, I did put some letters that he wrote me, and not to I just the value of pointing others to the Lord through his goodness in your life or through witnessing. This was precious to me. This was when I was a minister through the Covenant Players. He wrote me a note, and he just said, "I am so happy that you are happy. Your earthly father, believe me, cannot be more pleased that his daughter has found such fulfillment so early in her life. As your years go by, you will have so much to fill your heart, so much more to discover. No matter what your decisions are, I will be with you. I will remain constant. As I looked upon you as that helpless little baby in the first week of your life, there was a gift most precious to me. And as your years go by, I am more aware of it, loving you. And in loving you, my daughter, loving God. I have not been so constant and aware of loving God as I should be. Perhaps this is your gift to me, I think it is.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Isn't it? But of course, you know, through the Holy Spirit, I mean, it's not, I mean, I'm, it's not me that, but God used me in helping Dad. So that means a lot. And that he wrote it down. So I do think the email generation, I mean, the letters, handwritten letters are so precious. So anyway, thank you, honey, for including me in your journey with your podcast.
Yeah, Mom, thank you so much. This was a wonderful conversation. I'm sure listeners will really enjoy it. And I'm grateful that we were able to talk about this movie that we've both loved for a long time.